John, could you identify yourself, please?
Sure. My name's John Saxon, and we're currently at the site of the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station, which was purpose-built for manned spaceflight, and in particular for the lunar phases of the Apollo missions. And I was incredibly lucky to work here for 13 years, sitting on the ops console, conducting the band, and it was a really incredibly lucky event that I was in the right place at the right time to get that job. I went on after that for 15 years at the Canberra Deep Space Station, at Tubimbilla, and then a couple of years, 3 years at Jet Propulsion Laboratory consulting over there. So in all, I spent about 32 years in the tracking business. And at Honeysuckle here, this was, I think everybody comes up here realizes it is a beautiful site. It's surrounded by quite high hills, which surprises some people because they think it would inhibit the signal too much. But of course, we didn't pick it up until the spacecraft was over the hills. But it's surprisingly lower than you'd imagine when you look around here. I think the highest hill here would be maybe 10 degrees elevation from here. It doesn't look like that, but that's true. And so, yes, we had an 85-foot, 26-metre antenna here, which was a very fast mover, fast accelerating machine, and it was capable of tracking the re-entry phases of the lunar missions, which came in at 36,000 miles an hour or something. We had a thriving community up here. It was totally self-contained. We had carpenter shops, mechanics workshops, air conditioning workshops, cooks, cleaners, cafeteria people, all the way through to the management, and then, you know, all the technicians and operators and engineers who work the equipment during the missions. And I suppose during Apollo we would have had shifts of about up to 20 people, I suspect. When we went to Skylab, we got a whole lot of extra equipment, and so we ended up with about 30 people on a shift. During Apollo missions, of course, they were spread out a little bit, although it was pretty frantic. We used to get the documentation for a mission before we tracked the previous mission. It was pretty frantic. The pace was enormously high, but during the Apollo period, we did work up here, you know, 24/7 during the missions, but then in between missions we could take some time off and do engineering changes and a whole lot of other stuff. But then when you came to Skylab, that was 24/7 continuously for several years. And that was a great series of missions to support. I really probably enjoyed Skylab more than I enjoyed Apollo, to be honest.
Yes, because the Apollo missions lasted a bit over a week, whereas the Skylab was up to 84 days for the longest one.
Well, the manned period was, but it was still being tracked, and a lot of things were happening on the spacecraft, experiments and things of that sort, in the unmanned period. So it was a continuous support for the entire period of the Skylab was up there. And it was a great time. And after the Skylab missions, we supported Apollo Soyuz for a while, and then after that it became a deep space station up here. And then we were lucky enough to support Viking missions to Mars, the launches and early flights, early encounters of the Voyager spacecraft, Pioneer 6 through 10 and 11, and Helios, just a whole swag of missions we used to support from here.
Yeah, Helios was the mission that orbited the Sun.
That's right, yes. It was a very interesting mission because at certain parts of its orbit it was only visible from the Southern Hemisphere, so we were the only site that could see it. And there was a great emphasis on the reliability of these stations up here because being the only station in the Southern Hemisphere of this size, of the 26-metre antenna, if we had been red for some reason that we couldn't support the spacecraft, they wouldn't have launched. It was that simple. So before an Apollo mission, you know, we had to be all prepared and ready to go.
So what happened to the station in the end?
Unfortunately, what happened in 1981, we closed down, and I was lucky enough to move over to Canberra Deep Space Station and work there for a longer period. But it took a while to strip the equipment out, but eventually everybody just shut up shop and walked out. And then after a while, the ACT government decided that they weren't going to pay for any sort of security arrangements up here. And that's when the vandalism started. And the vandals came in and they literally sledgehammered down walls and took out all the copper piping and the copper cables that they could find, and just about everything they could rip out of the place.